This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And, of course, by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh, motherfucking shit. It's that time. Monday, November 4th. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Only you make it better, cocksucker. Wake up, you little dirty bitches. Do your jumping jacks, alpha brain, oatmeal, fruit, take a shit, wash your ass. Wash your monkey. Do what you need to do. Somebody twice as smart. What's happening, baby?
No, this is a relaxing.
Tony Bennett fucking opening it up like a doctor this morning. The church of what's happening now. Somebody. We're back, bitches. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Get up. Do what you need to do. What's the story, Lee? Look at Lee, fucking serenading me, cocksucker. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Thank you for coming on to the church and what's happening now. Monday, November fucking 4th.
Rent's due again. That came up fast.
Fucking rent. 6.5 weeks to Christmas. That's it. It's over, motherfucker. Next thing you know, you'll be eating fucking turkey. Well, you won't. You'll be with your father all bored to pieces eating some rubber fucking turkey with mashed potatoes somewhere. The chick will be down in Mexicoville fucking devouring turkeys and fucking chihuahuas and
whatever. Oh, you should have had what they made me yesterday.
What they make you yesterday.
It's like a Mexican pot roast. And my mom makes pot roast, and it's like one of my favorite things she makes for me. But this one was like spicy and had like Spanish rice with it. And like they poured the sauce over the rice. And I was like...
And now your dad's going to fuck it up and come out here for Thanksgiving.
No, it's good. I'm gonna go over there for Christmas.
You're
going to
sit over here and do what? Eat Boston Market turkey like a fucking communist?
No, we're going to go to a restaurant. Her brother is moving out of state. So it's in, and he's like, they haven't told him about me. Because he's like, I'm white Jewish and he's like really intense Mexican. So like, they want to spend one more holiday with him. So
I figured. Go over to your dad. Listen, just give your dad $5.
It's gotten less and less money each time.
Drop him off at fucking Denny's for Thanksgiving and shoot down to this Mexican's house and partake in a Mexican Thanksgiving. You're going to be very happy. You're going to shit blood for a year, but who gives a fuck? It's Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to come next week or this week on Friday, but it's what happens in this town. I mean, I knew I was done sometime around now, but my work needs me next week, so rather than... have him sit in my apartment my whole time. I just paid for the change ticket, and now he's coming at the end of the month.
How was the weekend, cocksucker?
Perfect.
And the girlfriend, I saw you Saturday night for some tacos.
And whenever my phone rings at like midnight on the weekend, I'm like, it's Joey Diaz, wants to get tacos. It was great. It's a lot of fun. I haven't had fun like this with a girl for a while.
Good for you, man. I'm happy. I could see it. I could see it in your face. You're a changed man. You're out of your fucking shell. You were walking around like fucking Adrian when I first met you. Now you're out. Have you heard from Ashley?
No.
Told you. What happened to your friend? It ain't your fucking friend. Now you fucked up. Now you should have learned. You should have just came on her face. Because either way, she wasn't going to talk to you. I tried to tell you. You should have shot her. She would have been sleeping with her mouth open, hung over from the night before. You'd have banged one out, hit her with some fucking juice sperm to the cheek. It's all over. She would have been walking around like the president of Russia. Remember that splatter on his fucking head? She would have had it on her cheek for life. Who did that thing? I don't know. Some fat little fucking Jewish guy. Fucking tremendous. See? She don't talk to you anyway. I told you. All that friend shit, that shit passes. Once they start sucking somebody else's pole, there's no more friends.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get them while they're hot, while they're on your couch.
And this isn't the reason why I couldn't keep the dog, but... My apartment complex is a really strict, apparently, no pets policy, and she stayed here for a few months, and my landlord was like, we had this problem before. I'm like, no, we didn't. And she's like, well, one day when we came up to do work, that girl was there, and she had a cat. I'm like, I don't think that's my apartment, because I'm really allergic to cats, and I've never had one in my house. She's like, oh, no, it was your apartment, and we told her that she couldn't have a cat, so she must have brought a cat here a couple days when I was at work or something. And I was like, fuck. So I was kind of pissed off. So, what are you going to do?
You should have came on the face. Now, next time you fucking know I was right. Anyway,
Anyway, how was your weekend?
My weekend was tremendous. It started off, I mean, you know, man, listen, and I don't fuck around with nobody when I tell you this shit. Lately, because it's going to happen, and you have to accept this in your life, that it's going to happen in your lifetime somewhere where you're going to be. What happened Friday at LAX?
Oh,
I mean, when
Jesus
I first
Christ.
Heard about it, I thought about my friends, the comedians who fly out Friday mornings.
That first, I went to your website because I woke up at like 10. I was like, fuck, is Joey flying today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is what I tell people. This is going to happen in your lifetime. The days of you fucking around on your phone, looking at your stupid fucking phone to see who text you, and what this is why I don't take fucking texts. This is why I don't fuck with Twitter on my phone and all that dumb shit. Because you need to pay attention in today's world. I don't give a fuck who's texting you, who's messaging you. Tell people no more. You have to pay attention. Those idiots you see giggling, walking down the street, those are the first motherfuckers that are going to get shot. And they deserve to get shot because you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You have to keep your eyes open. You got to look at all directions. I mean, that's how my mom raised me 50 fucking years ago. Shut your mouth and keep your fucking eyes open. You ever see these people that drive 30 and they're looking all around like sightseeing? Don't fucking sightsee on the road. Go to fucking a mountain and get binoculars or a telescope. You want to fucking sightsee. Pay attention to your surroundings all the fucking time. I might be fucking stoned, but you ask people who run with me, Ari, I fucking pay attention. You don't think I'm watching, but I'm fucking watching the door. I'm watching your legs. I'm watching your hands, especially now. You don't need this shit in your life, and it's going to happen. I always knew it was going to happen at LAX. It was just a matter of fucking when. You know, Alex Jones is a crackpot to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you, and I've said this story before 80 times on the podcast, and I will tell you again. The motherfucking told me in Houston that in 5 years, by fucking 2015, there's going to be TSA everywhere. That's what they want. It's going to be a little Cuba. In Cuba, there's a fucking cop on every corner.
Yeah, it's like that in Israel too, yeah.
This is going to be TSAville because the next thing they're going to hit is a kid's park. Some fucking Thanksgiving party at the park in warm weather or something. Then after that, they're going to hit an amusement fucking park. That's going to be fucking soon. Then after that, they're going to hit a professional event. That's coming up any day soon.
Yeah.
Whether an NFL, NBA, UFC, something. Because this is what their plan is. Whose plan, Joey? I don't know. I don't fucking know either. I don't fucking know. I'm no conspiracy theorist. I'm just telling you that every fucking week, when somebody shoots somebody, we hear about it right away. Yeah, it's the power of the computer to give us the up-to-the-minute last fucking news. But, no. This is what they want us to hear. This is what... Every fucking day, there's a shooting now.
Yeah.
Every fucking day. This fucking shooting was a 23-year-old kid from Jersey with one of those AR-15s, whatever the fuck those
were. Big fucking gun.
Guys, you know, you got to pay attention. Just do me that favor. I mean, I was sitting there going, what if... That's why I fly early, too. Because shooters don't shoot fucking early in the morning. They don't come out at 7:30. Nobody got shot at 7:30.
Yeah.
Everybody gets shot later in the fucking afternoon. That's why I do my business in the morning. Because fuck it. I ain't getting fucking... No, fuck you, man. Fuck you. I've lived a hard enough life to run into some fucking guy that snapped. Or whatever the fuck they're saying happens to these fucking idiots.
So let's say you were there. And I'm not saying you would like... I'm not saying you would be a hero, but let's say you saw a kid walk around looking weird. You think you might have seen something. Like, would you go to talk to somebody? Or like, I wouldn't know what to do in that situation.
In the situation, the guy's got a fucking weapon. You got a split second to decide.
Yeah.
So you got to tell somebody, and then grab fucking cover, or go for little kids, or whatever the fuck you're gonna go for.
Okay.
You know, we spoke on the phone yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna get emotional about this, people, because it's a fucking tough fucking subject to me. And it pisses me the fuck off constantly. I'm sorry to start this Monday morning, but Lee asked me what happened. I got to tell you guys a story since you brought the family. I didn't even tell Lee on the phone yesterday. I go to Farmer's Market yesterday. You know the one on Laurel Canyon?
Studio City? You go every week.
Every week. It's a half a faggy fucking place. It's a family place. It's kids. It's 60% kids. About a year ago, I go up to there, and some fat fucking Japanese guy, looking retarded Japanese guy, and his fucking assistants come up to me, and they're like, hi. We're paparazzis. Can we ask you some questions? And me and my wife are just sitting there eating a pizza. This is way before my wife was pregnant. Any of this shit. This was even longer. This was a long time ago. And the conversation started off great, man. Hey, Ben, you in the longest yard? tell us what the experience was. Then he's like, did you ever fuck Adam Sandler in the ass or something? I mean, just saying shit like this to me in front of my wife. And I go, listen, man, it's to your best interest just to get the fuck away from me. Look, all's fun and games with me, bro. I love having a great time. Like I said, you call me a fat spick, blah, 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 blah. Don't ever involve my wife in your fucking little charade. That's a big mistake. Don't ever involve my wife in your charade, bro. Because she don't like it either. And she's going to say something to you. So yesterday, we go to the farmer's market, and she was going to go to 10 o'clock church. So we go early. We get fish for the week. We get fruit, tomatoes, shit like that. We get a watermelon juice. We split it. But there's another half of the farmer's market where they have the petting zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically snow cones, you know, popcorn, anything fucking kids on that end. That's why I don't go over there. Ice cream. You know, they have the ugliest fucking animals that you want. They want you to pay $3 and you go pet them and shit behind cages. They got a water fountain. And that's great. My wife goes, let's kill another 20 minutes. So we walk over to the fucking water fountain, the doggy fucking whatever the fuck it is, the petting zoo. And I don't know who was in there. You know, every week somebody different's in there. The one week it was the black guy from Sons of Anarchy, the guy that they killed. The other week, it's always somebody different. I don't know who it was this week, but they were taking pictures of him. Like six or seven fucking paparazzis. But like three of them were across the street. Three of them were up close. And there's a bank there, First National Bank, of whatever the fuck it is. And there's a little security guard. Lee, this guy's 5'5", maybe 45 years old. He's balding. Never bothered nobody. Maybe his family needs $8 an hour, whatever minimum wage is now. The guy didn't have a weapon. So what the fuck are you doing working on a Sunday? You know what I'm saying? Like, they have him there to guard the bank. Don't stand on the wall. Don't put your drinks there. Guy's a sweetheart. I see him there all the time. Now I'm watching these paparazzi. He's telling them, please get off the property. And they're like, fuck you, fat man. They're saying all this shit to him. Going, ah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting heated and heated and heated and heated. Because, again, if you want to fight the guy, put the camera down and fight the guy one-on-one. They're not even, it's six of them. It's like four of them at this point, and they're taunting him. They're going, ah. And he's like, well, if you stand on the sidewalk, I can block your view of the pictures. And the guy goes, if you block our view, go ahead, block our view, see what happens to you. And the guy's like, I'm going to call the police. And he goes, well, what the fuck are the police going to do in all this shit? So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the paparazzi. I understand a man's got to make a fucking living, but this is a shitty fucking living over here. There's 1,000 places you could go to in Hollywood and get pictures, or Beverly Hills, or whatever. This is the Valley. This is quiet. These people are half a fucking fags at the end of the fucking day. They're half a fags. They're those waspy people that thinks everything is beautiful. It's not their world, brother. This is not their world. Get the fuck out of here. So the one fat fucking Japanese retard comes up to me, and he's like, hey man, how you doing? I know you. Aren't you lucky we're not bothering you? And I go, you know, you're lucky you're not bothering me. This is Sunday. These people are family. These are kids. Really? You're up here wasting these people? I could see somebody on the other side. But you guys are sneaking pictures. Then a chunky Mexican guy comes over. He's like, is there a problem? I go, no, there's not a problem. But you think about it, bro. This is Sunday. You really guys are here? This is the best you could do on a fucking Sunday? Then I looked at him in the eye and I talked to him in Spanish. And I said, you're Mexican. Your fucking manhood and everything about you is all about family. This is what you're doing. And he wouldn't fucking make contact with me. He wouldn't even... He knew. I'm like, really? This is the best you got on the Sunday?
His mom probably said it to him.
You know, look at these people. They're out there having a good time with their kids. I don't even know who the movie star is. There's no movie star out there. Just a guy that you guys are fucking thinking, whatever, you know? And the guy got up and walked out, and they all chased him. So now they're starting to come back one by one. And this one fucking Arabian, whatever the fuck he was, comes over. And he's like, I hear you have a problem. I go, no, I don't have a problem, but think about what you guys are doing. It's fucking Sunday. This is the best you got. And he goes, fuck you, Italian fat man. And that's when I just went off. Fuck you, cunt motherfucker. Your mother drank the best part of you. I go, this is all you got. This is the best you got, taking pictures of these people. Lee, if they were making $10,000, $20,000, I wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. But all of them are chumps. You could see what they're wearing. They all got chump change. So we start arguing. My wife gets in the middle of this. We walk back. My wife says, get the fuck out of here. We walk back to the car. And all of a sudden, as I get to the car, the fucking Arabian guy follows me. And I just snapped. I run over to him. And I tell him, he was like, I'm going to hit you with the camera. And I think I spit in his mouth. Because he was opening up his mouth. And I spit in his fucking mouth. And the security got involved. And they said they called the police. You know, I got in the car. My wife couldn't understand it. I'm from North Bergen, New Jersey. And where I'm from, you want to fight somebody, you fucking fight them. you fucking fight them, okay? You take your shirt off and you go, let's fight around the building. But you don't gang up on some fucking guy that one of you could beat up with a blindfold on. The security guy had nothing going for himself. He was just doing it for his family or whatever. And these guys, and my wife understood it, but she didn't understand. And later on last night, she said to me, I understand now, you know?
Yeah.
There's one thing about bullying. I don't believe in bullying, but I don't believe in you backing out either. He ain't going to kill you, Lee. Take your shirt off and punch him in the face real hard. Worst case scenario, he's going to punch you twice. Just go down. He ain't going to kick you when you're down. I'm here. But you're going to have to fight him, Lee. Fight him. Just fight him. Just fucking punch him crazy for 30 seconds, and that's it. But you're not going to let three people hit Lee or anybody else that's not. No, no, no. There's people that deserve to get fucking hit. There's some people, you ever go to a bar and there's that drunk bitch outside the club?
Yeah.
And you're like, somebody please smack this motherfucker. Even girls that are against, you know, domestic violence are like, would somebody please smack this bitch? There's some people that don't deserve to get hit, or it's not their world. It's not their world. It's not, when it's not your world, you don't understand how shocking it is to your system.
No, it is. I can't believe you're talking about this, because I was thinking about it for the past couple days. So we've talked about bullying before, and I've been bullied. And there was one time in high school where I actually fought back, and I got suspended for fighting. But I don't have a lot of regrets in my life, but something I do regret is not fighting a lot. I think as a kid, I would have like fantasies about like punching the guys who were mean or whatever. I never did it, and it really it's one of my regrets. But what's been going on in the news the past week or so, a football player on the Dolphins got bullied or whatever and left the team.
I saw that.
And yesterday they suspended the guy who supposedly did it, and they're having this whole big thing, and everyone on ESPN saying it's terrible, and it is. And the guy should have got suspended. But I'm just as mad, and I don't know the whole story, so it could get worse, and I can change my mind. But I'm mad at the guy who got bullied, because he left the team. He's like a lineman. He's a huge 300-pound lineman, and you just leave because you're getting bullied. Like, how can you if you were a father and you didn't stand up for yourself, like how can you face your kids? Like, I didn't fight, but I never ran, like, you can't run away from that. Like, that's, like, and none of the football players are saying it because they're on ESPN and, like, they'll get fired if they say what they should say, but how could you not, punch the guy in the face? Or, like, how can
football's
you just...
Football's a... Listen, it's not about punching people in the fucking face.
But you can't run away and leave the team.
You can't run away and leave the team, but you have to fucking stand for your space. Listen, man, I had a horrible experience happening when I was a kid. I got beat up at the fucking park, and my mother made me go back there the next day. And I talk about it on stage because it was such a painful situation day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was the only spick in the neighborhood. You know, I got beat up by a white kid, an Italian kid. You know, people liked me, but I knew I was going to get my ass kicked again. And now my mother's going to the park and making me fight. You know, and I got beat up again that day. But throwing that punch at that kid and hitting him in the face liberated me for life.
Yeah, I wish I had done that.
It really did liberate me for life. To punch him, to see the blood come down his nose, then he beat me up. But I always, my mother raised me to A, stick up for yourself, and B, stick up for the people around you. There's some motherfuckers that just look for trouble. Fuck them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But there's some people that one day they wake up and they just want to take out their fucking horrible life on somebody who, this is not their world. You say, enjoy, what's not their world? I've been smacked, and I've smacked people, and I've mugged people, and I've done this and this. It's my world. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm a bully, I'm a fighter. I'm nothing. I'm a 50-year-old man that'll get beat up in 2 fucking minutes. What I'm saying is, though, even though I'm a 50-year-old man that'll get a bit beat up in 2 minutes, if you drive me to that point where I believe, not that I'm getting bullied, but I'm getting...
disrespected?
My space is taking up.
Okay.
Because I can't figure out, even in my world, I can't figure out what happens here. All I can worry about is what happens in this space, and I'm holding my arms out like I'm going to hug somebody. I know I'm the type of person, I can't stay hit. I know it would drive me crazy if somebody hit me and I didn't hit that person back, and it would get worse because it would escalate. I would go back with a pipe. I know me in my heart, but mm-hmm. That punch that my mother forced me to throw, I'd gotten into fights as a kid in New York, like in the first grade, second grade, and I got stitches. And I was, it wasn't that I could fight, it was, I didn't give a fuck. I was crazy, so it's not that I knew what I was doing, it's not that I knew combinations. I was just crazy. I probably held my breath when I punched. But I was so crazy, I won a few fights. And then when I went to Sacred Heart School for Boys, that had gotten taken away from me. There was no fights there. There was no real fights there. The only action I had was on the weekends up on 148th Street by my godmother's house. There was always action up there. There was always a smack or somebody got hit with a chair. Or, you know, there was always somebody got stitches. But then I got beat up by the nun and I fucked her up. And that jaded me for a while. When I hit that nun back that day, at first I felt good about myself. But then I felt bad about myself. And I remember going to martial arts. I was going to Gushinru Karate at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was holding back. Like I was holding back, even at Gushinru. I wasn't really, that fucked me up. And for some reason, I said, fuck it, I'm going to keep my hands to myself. That's the safest way to fucking keep them. Mm-hmm. And then that thing happened at 38th Street Park with Richie Ferrara, this kid who hit me, bullied me, and then the next day my mother made me go back. And that put me back. And then she started talking to me. And I started, once I saw my mother in action, then I said, I understand now. And I understand what it means to stick up for yourself. You know, a lot of people don't like me in this town, Lee. And you know why? Because I've opened my fucking mouth. Because I've opened my mouth and asked what's coming to me. And that's a no-no in this town. Because God forbid you say that. There's a lot of people who don't like when you say shit to them. They don't, you know, and they don't have the balls to come back a week later and go, hey, man, I thought about the situation. You know, the bigger the man, the bigger the fucking mistake. I fucked up. Let's move on with this relationship. Fuck you, then. If you don't see it that way, fuck you then. You know, I've gotten mad at... Right now, I'm reading about this Mr. Blue, this guy that... in prison. The guy that was my counselor.
Okay.
In prison. That was this fucking redneck that hated Spics, niggas, Chinese. He just hated everybody. Just the way life is, man. Some people... And he was a prison counselor. But he took a liking to me. After a few weeks, I would bust his balls back. I didn't give a fuck. I would break his balls back. Fucking redneck and all this shit. He called me Fat Spic Boy. It was Spic Boy at that time. I wasn't fat in prison. And, you know, there's a diagnostic file. When you go to prison, there's a week that they hold you back at a place called diagnostic. They take your blood out. They check all your physicals. They check your mind. They test you, your aptitude.
Even back then they did that?
Yeah, 87, 88. They test you on aptitude. But then there's 2 days that they just run you through psychiatric testing.
Jesus.
Just a lot of psychiatric testing with different doctors and blocks. And what do you see when you see a black chick fucking a white guy in the ass with a bazooka? You know, they just ask you a bunch of shit. And you have to give them answers.
Yeah.
Well, that information goes to the FBI. And it goes to, I don't think it goes to your attorney. They won't tell you what's on that information. But when I got locked up, the final destination was Camp George West. And everybody there kept saying, well, you know, it must be in your file or whatever. And I was like, my file? What the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, it's in your file. You know, if you ask your counselor, he'll tell you what's in that file. So I started bugging him, Blue, what's in that file? And he would always say, you don't really want to fucking know. You don't really want to fucking know. And this is the same guy that when I walked in called me a kidnapper. And just said a bunch of things to me. But then after a while, I did everything I was supposed to do. I did my classes. I did my fucking chores. I did my job. I never really got a write-up in prison. You know, I got into a fight in the AIDS unit, though, one time on a Sunday during the Cleveland-Denver Bronco game with Savarino, Serafino, whatever his fucking name is. And I kept bugging him, what's in that file? And he would always say to me, you don't want to know, bug fucker. You don't want to know, bug fucker. You don't want to know, bug fucker. And one day I asked him, I was pissed off, and he goes... He says that, you know, you're a piece of shit. It says that if I had something you wanted, you would get it. No matter what you'd have to do, you'd get it. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. I just knew. He goes, oh, so he's telling me I'm a fucking thief. And then he said something that really, he goes, if I had something, no, he goes, is there something you really wanted, you could get it. That's how dangerous you are. You're a dangerous person. And I left. I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to him for about a month. Then one day he goes, what, you mad at me? I told you you didn't want to know. And he goes, you didn't get what I was telling you, that you could do whatever the fuck you want. Even though you could be a bad criminal, but if you had $1 million, you could figure out a way how to get into my house. That's also for life. You could also do something good with your life, you know? And you don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. You never fucking know. But you have to stick up for your ground, Lee. You always have to stick up for your ground because once... somebody else sees that you're not sticking up for their ground, and they get a little fucking edgy with you. You know, guys will test you. You know, they'll come up, and when you go to the bathroom and hit on Paula.
Yeah.
If you walk back from that bathroom, and you don't say something to that dude, there's somebody in there that saw you. So the next time you go to the bathroom, some other guy's going to come up to you and say something to Paula. So you got two options. You got to come back and say something so outrageous, so fucking outlandish at him, you know?
Yeah.
That his head will fucking go in, because that's the only other option you have but blasting him. When you punch somebody really fucking hard, they go into some other fucking planet, not like, and birds spin around them. I'm not talking about that stupidity. I'm talking about you go into shock. Your body, why are they hitting me? You start thinking different options. You could be the best fighter in the world. That's why it makes you a best fighter. That after you get hit, how you react to get hitting. But there's also things you could do and say it's the biggest smack in the face. He loses face, and he's out of there. And you just scrambled his fucking brains. It's like when on 30-30, when Roberto Duran, so when Sugar Ray Leonard, his wife, saw Roberto Duran.
Mm-hmm.
And Roberto Duran walked up to him, and Sugar Ray went to give him a hug, and he goes, fucking something, and your fucking hooker wife. It destroyed his insides. He couldn't understand how, and he couldn't hit him, because then he couldn't fight. He fucked up his head. So says times, you know, there's a particular comedian that likes to hit on chicks. When I first moved to this town, I was at the Improv one night, and sure enough, I left my girl at the bar, came back 3 minutes later, and there he was hitting on her. Ugh. And I fucking said something to him. Oh, yeah, I looked him straight in the fucking eye and said something to him. My girlfriend at the time froze, because in reality, that's not a man's job. That's a woman's job to say, excuse me, I'm here with somebody. Do me a favor, get off that chair and get the fuck out of here. Yeah. That's a woman's job to say that. Hi, how are you? Sit down, yes. Oh, my God, you're so fun. No, that's not what your girlfriend's supposed to act like. Get the fuck out of here. Sit down. The fuck out of here. Sit down. I'll smack you in the fucking head. Sit down. So it's true. It's fucking true. Where I come from, you can't sit next to my fucking girlfriend and talk to her.
No, I know why you married Terry, because she would absolutely say that.
Yeah, Terry would say, do me a favor. Get the fuck out of this fucking chair, will you? So, a lot of people don't like that. So you really have to, and it's like Tony Montana said, you have to, step in your mark and enforce it. The line that the fat guy tells Scarface, Al Pacino, is the best line ever. They should have stopped Hitler in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
That tells it all. If they would have stopped Hitler in Munich, which is true, if you read that history part, it's true. They would have stopped them in fucking Munich. They wouldn't have. So you have to nip these people in the bud, because then it just keeps growing, Lee. And that's the mistake we make as children when we get bullied. And that's something that my mother always clarified for me. You know, if you're at your fucking job, there's some bosses that say shit to you. A boss is a boss. He's supposed to instruct you. He's supposed to, you know, help you. He's supposed to give you support. Yeah, you know, if you fuck up, he straightens you out. But there's a thin line of straightening people the fuck out at work.
Yeah.
And I was one of those guys. You better watch what the fuck you're saying. It's tough. And it's very tough, you know? A couple of years ago, I shot that fucking Carl's Jr. commercial. And one thing I can't stand, I've told you 1,000 times, is like, and we talked about the artists in this town, the artists, you know, and I showed up. It's fucking 30 degrees. This director has tattoos all over him with a wife beater on. 30 degrees in Long Beach. But he wants you to know he's tatted up with a little fucking hat and two earrings and an earring in his lip. You know, so I'm a director. So I should be fucking impressed. You know what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, they put us in these trucks. It was a commercial where a guy's laying there with ketchup on his shirt.
Okay.
Remember, you never seen it? It was a Carl's Jr. commercial.
I might remember
it. A guy's eating. He didn't have to be. It was a national commercial. Okay. It was Carl's Jr. What's Carl's Jr. on the East Coast?
I think it's Hardee's.
Hardee's.
Yeah.
It was a commercial where they're eating fucking something, and all of a sudden two mobsters pull up, and they pull up to the window, and the guy's asleep with ketchup all over him, and it looks like somebody shot him, and the two guys are, somebody already shot him, and they get back in the car. Well, that one person was me. It was me and Mossy Furlan. He's in the season opener, NCIS, a little Italian guy. And I don't know nothing. They go, you have a driver's license? Yeah, all right. You drive the SUV, and Mossy's going to drive the fucking whatever car. Mossy will tell you the fucking story. And I get in the whatever, but the thing is rigged. It's got lights in there. If you ever do a car with a commercial or a car with a movie, it's not what a car is. It's a car with lights, and they got a camera over here and a camera behind you and a camera in both fucking things. It's amazing. When you see it in a movie, you don't see any of those cameras, but it's pretty fucking cool. It's there. So fucking, I get in the car, boom, I start it, and I drive it, and you're supposed to get out of the car in a hurry. Well, I went to step on the emergency brake, and there was no emergency brake. The thing just went down, and I had to get out of the car and do what I had to do, and the car kept rolling. And the guy's like, who left that fucking car rolling? Who's the idiot? And I go, I'm the fucking idiot, stupid motherfucker. I go, you didn't fucking fix the fucking brake. And he just froze. Like, all the ADs froze. Everybody froze because nobody's ever talked to, you know, Johnny Artist. But I wiped that artistry with my dick. You understand me? I wiped that shit with my fucking asshole. I don't give a fuck about your fucking tattoos and your fucking wife beat. It's 30 degrees. Everybody got a hooded sweatshirt on. And this fucking moron, you know. So I don't give a fuck. But he didn't fuck with me the rest of the shoot.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fuck with me. You know, when I did the movie The Longest Yard, that shot Romanowski hit me with, can of corn.
Okay.
He was hitting me because I was provoking him. But I didn't know he was that provocable. I was just, thought I was being cute. But after he hit me and I seen the anger in his eye, I kept asking, this is the best you got? And he kept on fucking hitting me and my helmet would flip around. And bro, he was hitting me that hard that my helmet was turning around. That's hard to get fucking hit.
Christ.
And I would look at him and go, fuck, that's nothing.
Oh my God.
And I don't think he talked to me after that.
Really?
Yeah,
well, he's a crazy guy.
Yeah, he's a crazy dude.
But yeah, it's crazy. And I'm going, they changed my schedule again at this job. I'm done in 2 weeks. And I should just say, fuck you, and I don't need the, like, I think after taxes I'd make less than $2,000 over these next 2 weeks. I should just say, fuck you guys. But it's tough. And, like, the guy, the football player, it's been going on for a year and a half, and he just left the team. And, it, like, as someone who got bullied, I'm like, that you shouldn't, you're setting a bad example.
You know, man.
Like, what if you were on a TV show?
Right, where's he going to go now? He's any team he goes to, they're going to torture him.
Oh, yeah. Like, they didn't even sign that gay guy, the gay basketball player.
Yeah.
He's not playing for anybody. He's not that great, but he's a good bench player. And, like, there's nothing wrong with
how much controversy is going to be in the locker room?
Exactly, yeah.
That's what people are like, oh, he's so proud for saying that. Yeah, but he's unemployed, bitch.
Yeah.
He's going to be coaching a girls' fucking team now because, fine, he came out of the closet and we should all be proud of him and whatnot. But how much damage is that going to cause on the team? What are they going to do, fly him and give him his own fucking locker room?
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me? Big fucking black dudes with big dicks don't like a gay guy in the fucking locker room. Trust me. Trust me. Those NFL fucking players, yeah, they walk around with their fucking pink ribbons on because they have to. They don't give a fuck about anything. They don't give a fuck about anything. Trust me. I used to hang out with those dudes. I was one of those dudes. They don't give a fuck about gays, whatever. They don't want no fucking gay guys in the thing. They have no sympathy. They're too young to understand. They're too young to understand unless they have a fucking, you know, gay cousin or a flower. I don't fucking know. Who the fuck knows?
And how, like with comedians, like you and I joke around and like, let's say I got offended one day and said, oh, don't call me fat. I got all upset. How could we do the podcast? And if he goes to another team and they're joking around, they're going to be like, oh, we can't joke around with him. Like, I understand bullying is bad, and he shouldn't have been getting bullied, and I'm sure it was terrible. But you can't let it go on for a year and a half and then just leave the team. I don't know. It pissed me off.
People's pain threshold
is
getting simpler and simpler. I, this weekend, did what I do every Saturday when I'm home. I went to my friend's kid's soccer game. I was very, I'm not pissed. I'm not hurt by it, but I was very in shock. They have 3 boys.
Okay.
And a girl. And the kids are great. Guys, when I tell you, these kids are great. Great. The boys are great. The older one, I don't see him, but the 2 medium ones, the 13, the 14, the 12, I see a lot. I go to their basketball games, blah, blah, blah. So we usually go to a soccer game with them as a family. We cheer for the little girl, and then we all go eat lunch. This week we went to Red Lobster, which was fucking terrible. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, they're throwing spitballs at each other, right? So there's a bag. There's a to-go bag, right? Like, over here. Like, it's a long table. It's 8 of us. So I'm at the table with my daughter, my wife, and the little girls next to me. And over there is Griffin. And there's a bag in front of Griffin. And after the spitballs are fucking around with the 2 brothers, I take my pencil, and I hit the bag. And it goes, pap! All of a sudden, I get another spitball, and I hit the bag, and it goes, pap, and they're laughing. We're all fucking laughing. And finally, the brother hits Griffin with a spitball, and the spitball hits the brother, but the brother goes to get one, and there's a bag. So he's hiding. I basically can't see him.
Yeah.
He's behind the bag, right? So he fucking shoots the bag. He shoots the brother. I get my spitball, and I go to hit the bag again to make that noise.
Yeah.
He moves the bag over to use it as a shield. So the spitball I shoot hits him close to the mouth or right on the...
You almost got arrested for beating up a paparazzi and you're doing spitballs at Red Lobster.
No, right, so the spit, but these are kids. I'm a fucking big kid. So the spitball hits him on the lip and it bounces off and we die of laughter. Even he's laughing.
Yeah.
But when he looks up and sees everybody's laughing, he just went into tears. I had to get up and apologize and say I was sorry. And I don't think he knew why he was crying. My wife was like, Joey, did you feel bad? I go, how do you fucking, I don't go around to make people cry. I feel fucking terrible. That's my buddy. I play basketball with him. We fuck around. A couple weeks ago, he's Asian. You know, he's Filipino. And I said something. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm not that Asian. You know, he's just a funny fucking kid, you know. A couple weeks before that, we went to the girls' game, the soccer. And he looked at me and goes, why do you keep going to soccer games? It's so boring. Come to my games. And he's the littlest fucking Chinese kid on the team, Filipino kid, because it's an Asian community. But he's the smallest one, and he plays like he's 6'7". So I love the kid, you know what I'm saying? But just to see him cry like that the other day put me in shock.
Yeah.
Like when I was after fucking the age of 8, you would have hit me with a fucking dump truck for me to cry. Like, you really had to hit me with a dump truck. Like, I was done with that shit crying on demand. Once I got to that 148th Street realm, all that shit went away. Once my stepfather moved in the house, I couldn't act like that no more. I couldn't act like that. Like, cry around my mom. Like, they were doing something different with me. It was the weirdest fucking thing. I've been thinking about this ever since, you know, I hit him with the spitball that day. Because I felt fucking terrible.
How old is he?
He's 12.
Oh, that's too old to cry about that.
Yeah, so... you know, kids are sensitive, you know, and I know that because of the internet and because of TV, kids are programmed to act a certain way. But then again, every fucking kids show I watch, they're always doing martial arts.
Yeah.
So aren't these kids going, and when you go to a jiu-jitsu school, basically, I heard Eddie say this the other day, and it confirmed it to me. You know, the place I go to, VMAC in the Valley, great place. But those guys aren't killers. They're very decent kids. They're computer kids. They have jobs. It's not like the kids over there are killers or nothing. But if you go to Eddie's school, it's not that they're killers either. And I don't want to call them down the gateway of being nerds or nothing because they're not nerds by any matter. By the way, my man fucking Zach at VMAC always asks me, when are you bringing the fly into? You have they're all 25, Lee. They're all kids, so they know who you are. The one girl friended me today on Facebook, she's a kid, but she's a big Joe Rogan fan from jiu-jitsu. So, it's just weird that they're all programmed to be martial artists. Like, when I was growing up, I had Batman and Superman, and he beat some bitches up, and you had Popeye, who stuck up for olive oil. And so, I don't know the differences of why the bullying issue is so big right now. I don't get it.
Well, I did, like, 6 or 7 years of Taekwondo, and, but they always, from the first day, they jam it into you. That, like, you're doing forms, and this isn't for fighting, this is for self-defense, and you should never use it. And I almost wish that I had gotten into fights, because I didn't, and, like, it's, I think that people are going because, like, they realize they missed out on something. Like, a 12-year-old, you shouldn't cry at that, I understand he was embarrassed, like, it was just a reaction, but, the reason you didn't cry is because you were running around fighting on streets, and if you cried, you would have gotten probably more, like, not beaten up, or I don't know what would have happened. But these kids have been in, and jiu-jitsu and all that stuff is great, but at a certain point, it's just, you're just doing forms, and it's the same thing as Zumba and yoga and stuff.
It's weird how I, you know, when you talk about the word streets, you say streets, like it's this... You know, after school, it wasn't like we went and fought and we went and... We were regular kids. We played football, two-hand touch. And then after 3 or 4 games, we went over to the basketball court and played 3 or 4 games. And after that was over with, they didn't want to do that. We went into the woods and lit a fire. You know, and after that, you know, you did so many things. Sometimes along that way, especially at the basketball court, when you're playing sports, there'd be misunderstandings. But I don't want anybody to know, when I was growing up in North Bergen, it was a fight every day. It was not like that. There wasn't a mugging every day. No. It's exaggerated on my part, and it's exaggerated in society how they say the street. I'm in fucking street. The street is a state of fucking mind. I've been to people's houses that it's worse than the fucking streets. Like, you might get mugged in their living room.
Yeah. But, like, the kids nowadays, like you said, you played football, basketball, and you go lit a fire. Now kids are playing Madden, NBA games, and they're playing Grand Theft Auto. And it's just different. Like, you don't run into that. And I think it's also weird because people get this false sense of, like, luckily the people who listen to us are most of the time cool on Twitter. I don't really get much hate at all. But some of the stuff, like, the people were writing about, like, this football player yesterday on Twitter, a different one, who, like, the quarterback from Houston who got benched. And some of the, like, the awful stuff they're saying, that they would never have the balls to say to this huge guy in person. And it's a hacker, I don't know what you want to call it, for saying, oh, there's two people get too tough behind Twitter and stuff. But it's true, like, you were out playing football and basketball, and there were little arguments, but they were over. Like, there's 10-year-old kids now committing suicide because of what people are saying on Facebook. It's just, it's crazy. I can't even understand it.
You know, again, the first stupid fucking mantra you learn growing up is sticks and stones will break my bones. Words can never help me. They hurt me. Call me this, call me that, call yourself a big fat rat, right? Something like that. Wasn't that the fucking
I knew the first one, I didn't know the second one.
And that was the mantra. After a while, you know, you could call me fucking names, whatever, you know, whatever you say to me goes back to you, sticks on glue, whatever the fuck, you know. I mean, all that stuff worked for a while.
Yeah.
I would never, after a while, you said something that was very interesting. You said that you fantasize yourself punching people.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I think every fucking child does. I think we all do. You know, I fantasize for years. I would listen to Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and want to kill my fucking stepfather. That's what it's about. It's about people lying to you. People, you know.
Oh,
shit. Oh, shit.
Hello.
Oh, shit. It's my little brother, Danny B, in the fucking house.
That's right, my man. What's going on?
Nothing, Danny. I've been watching you on Twitter lately in the last couple months, and I see that you are one of the hardest working fucking men in the sports betting industry, and these fucking idiots aren't catching on to what you're doing. It's starting to piss me off.
What are you going to do? It is what it is. You know, personally, I'm just sitting here waiting for the lesbians to drop off my weed. That's all. That's all I care about right now. The lesbians, they're running fucking late.
How late are they running, these two little dirty bitches?
I don't know. Me and my wife, we got this hookup in Easton. These two lesbians, they drop off our weed and they're running behind him. They might be in the bed thing. I don't know what the hell, but they're late and I'm getting a little fucking pissed off at them. So.
Are they good looking? There's one chubby with the fucking military haircut and the other one's hot and...
They're pretty much both banged up, but they're nice girls out of Long Island. But yeah, they drop it off, you know. We don't got the convenience stores like you do. And the Chewy Chews and all that neat shit here. I'm trying to get the wife to move out west, man. It's a hard sale, though. It really is.
No. Stay where you are. You got the world by the balls. You got your home there. It's very nice. Basketball season is upon us, Danny. And what these fucking wackadoos don't know, it's 6.5 weeks away from fucking Christmas. Nobody wants to be hungry on Christmas.
No, it is what it is. Basketball, you know, most people, unfortunately, they don't even think about basketball until after the Super Bowl. It is what it is. College basketball starts up this week, too, Saturday, I believe. You know, we have football all week long, but Coco, it is. You know, nobody cares about basketball until football.
And they're stupid, you know, because the lines are soft, you dumb motherfuckers. When the lines are soft and people don't know what's going on, this is your chance to steal, especially Tuesday nights. The whole month of November, you should be making a killing on Tuesday nights. Killing on Tuesday nights. That you could just fan your fucking dick for the rest of the week. You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie to your mother. You don't have to do nothing. Just pick up the check on fucking... It's true, Danny. Football's tighter than ever now. Football's tighter than ever. What were the upsets yesterday?
Let's see. What happened yesterday? We almost had Seattle losing to Tampa.
Yeah.
Down big. Seattle they fucking back came in back. Overtime. Houston... Well, it wasn't really... You know, it's funny because Houston, they were kind of like a pick'em playing the Colts, and they fell apart. Big upsets. I don't know if anything was big yesterday, any big upsets. The favorites kicked ass the week before. Yesterday was a lot of balance, you know, yesterday.
The Jets beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Jets. Yeah, the Jets. There you go, Lee. Did Lee say that? The Jets beat, they were a +6. They beat those Aints. Those Aints.
In the motherfucking Meadowlands and shit.
Yeah, there you go. The Jets fans are excited about that, you know. How about the coach last night for the Texans being carted away? I hope he's okay. What do you think happened there?
That's
too much stress or
that's
what?
Kubiak, right? Poor Kubiak.
Yeah, Kubiak.
Remember, in Denver, he sat on the bench for 10 years behind Elway, scratching
his
fucking head.
He sure did. Gary Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak.
Denver boy.
And then whenever
how's How's the baby? Let's talk family. How's the baby?
You know, bro, it's something. It's something to look at and go, you scratch your head every fucking morning. You scratch your head, you get more and more scared about life. You hug them more, you know. It's great. It's great that the wife is around now all day lurking like a fucking spider. So that's good, you know. But besides...
my little guy's, my older guy, Jaden, he's 9. He's okay. He's mild. He's a little spoiled, a little pritzy. You know, we spoiled him. But my little guy, JT, is a fucking monster. Cute as hell. But he reminds me of my brother, Gary, which scares me. He's doing shit at this age that you shouldn't be doing. He's thinking things. He walks around with a boner all day long. He's always, look at it, mommy. It's fucking weird. But
let me ask you something, Danny.
It's challenging.
You have a boy, and I know you a long time, Danny, and you're a never-say-die motherfucker. You're like me. That's the two things that came out of North Bergen. We're two never... They're going to have to kill us with fucking bazookas, then stab us, then throw stones at us, then chop us up, then light us on fire, then bury us. Then take us out of the sea and bury us in the fucking ocean, because it's just how do you raise your boy, Danny, in this world of people getting bullied?
Well, you know what? It's tough. You know, even the NFL players. Look, the one got suspended indefinitely for bullying on an NFL. I mean, come on, when you got a 34-year-old bullying a 24-year-old, that's pretty sad. But as far as the kids go, I don't know. It is what it is. You teach him not to be aggressive, but to protect themselves. You know, my little guy don't have to worry about it. He's going to be able to handle himself. You know, and getting back to what you said, we've been burned, drowned, tortured, but we're like Jason. He ain't going to kill us. Michael Myers, he ain't going to kill us. He might slow us down a little bit, but I'm getting back on my feet every time I get knocked down, and that's life, though. You know, even my business now, Cokes, it's changing. Everything's on the internet. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. Everybody's bashing everybody. And it's pretty awful, but, you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin, so I'm okay with everything, you know? It is what it is.
What do you tell your 9-year-old if somebody pushes him to fucking bitch slap him? I mean, what do you tell him, Danny?
Well, you know what? He's into that wrestling shit, that WWE shit, so everything with him is a headlock, a bite, and a pinch, and a scratch. Actually, we got a little note that he punched somebody in the face on the bus the other day because the kid was teasing him about his girlfriend because he's into girls now. He found his first little girlfriend. To be honest with you, she's pretty ugly. I don't want to tell him that because it'll break his heart. But, so the kid was busting his balls, so he took a swing at him or something like that. We got a little warning note, you know, but he's not a bully. Now, the little guy, he's a bully. He's the guy that we're going to have to watch. Hey, you know, so
not to interrupt you, but what would you rather him do? Bring an ugly girl home or an ugly little boy home? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
it's two state of minds. I'd rather the motherfucker come home with the Bride of Frankenstein than show up with Louie, you know, the DJ over at Sugar Cues.
No, she is a nice girl. Actually, she's got a twin sister. I don't know what happened. He picked the wrong sister. The twin, I don't know. I guess they're not identical twins, that's for sure. But yeah, he has his first little crush, and he's getting sensitive, and, you know, actually, he's doing weird shit in his room, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on in there.
The 4-year-old or the 9-year-old?
You know, he's fucking won't open the door.
The 4-year-old?
Him. He's already doing weird shit, too. But the 9-year-old's starting to find himself. I guess he's getting his pubic hairs going, and all time, you know, the changes of becoming a, you know, 9, 10-year-old.
He's fucking 9. He's already getting hard-ons and whacking off and
shit. The 4-year-old, he's swinging, man. He's swinging. He's walking around like I'm looking at him like, damn, man, are you sure you're my son? Where the fuck did that thing come from? But, he walks around all day, and he looks at it. He's got his face on. He's under the blankets. He's looking at you. He goes, Mom, look at the size of my bone. And it's pretty weird, but, you know, kids, you know. But, the older guy, yeah, he's got a little crush going. Like I said, she's homely. But like you said, he's not bringing a man home.
No. What happens if, like I said, you know.
At least not now, anyway.
He shows up a little black DJ with a little cute haircut and an earring in his nose. What are you going to do?
What's up with you, man? What are you doing? You're hitting the sticks again? You're going to North Carolina this week?
North Carolina. I go to Long Island. I go to St. Louis to see Joey Filato.
Then Joey Filato.
On Thursday night. Thursday night, the 21st, I'm doing a club with Ari Shaffir. Joey Filato is already taking the day off. You know, I might as well include Joey into the mix of motherfuckers that you have to shoot with a bazooka. You know, he's very, he adopted a baby.
Oh, good.
He lives in St. Louis. He runs a car dealership. He makes fucking tons of money. He, you know, he loves it that his wife has a baby. And that's another guy that got caught robbing and he got a couple smacks and he changed his life around. And now I don't think he does anything. I don't think.
Well, you know what, I'm sorry. Me and Joey did some heist with Big Lou. I don't know if you remember Big Lou Issa. He came around in the late 80s, early 90s, a big dude out of Passaic. His old man was called Bonesy Issa. But anyway, Big Lou was like 6'7", 300 and something pounds. But he had contacts with the retired DEA agents, and they used to squat on the drug buildings in New York City. So we used to get the phony John Doe warrants. And me and Joey Filato were in deep with the guy. We owed him a lot of money. So to work off our debt, we started going on a little drug heist with him. So me and Joey were, we were sidekicks there for a while, you know. I can think back, but we had some crazy times, man. And today, at 51 years old, I can't even believe I'm still alive. I'm healthy. And there's my fucking phone. Now, who the hell is this? It's a solicitor. I can't stand the son of a bitches.
Well, tell me to suck your dick and call you shorty.
I got into a new office, and I inherited new phone numbers. And everybody, they're looking for Juan and Diego and Jose, and they owe money and this one, and they want to give me student grants and blah, blah, blah. Put it this way, if that was potential clients calling, I'd be on Easy Street. My phone rings all day long, and nobody calls no more, Coco.
You know,
nobody calls no more.
The live podcast the other day, I don't know, somewhere in the live podcast, we started talking about people we knew. And I talked about, I just stopped, and for some reason I thought about Darren Rago and what Darren would be like today. And I told the story about one of the last times I saw Darren. I did a show in New York City, and I stayed out. I had no money for a hotel, Danny. I would stay on Mike Ascalise's balcony. When I went home in the late 90s, I would sleep on Mike Ascalise's balcony. He lived on the 34th floor. And I had my clothes outside, and I'd walk through his living room. He was sleeping on the couch. And he'd leave me blankets and a pillow on his balcony, and I'd sleep out there. This is how poor I was doing comedy, going back to New York. I was living out here. But I went back one night, and they told me Darren lived by the park, by Hudson County Park, right by Bergamine, those buildings. The guy who was fucking his wife, his ex-wife, owned those buildings, and he went to him and said, "You want to fuck my ex-wife? I want an apartment for free." So the guy gave him an apartment. I went up there. Darren had two bedrooms, no furniture, no nothing. It was just beer cans everywhere that people had left because he wasn't drinking because of the hepatitis D. And there was a cot, like one of those, you know those cots that you open up?
Uh-huh.
There was one of those. That's in the black and white television. And I stayed outside there till about 6, ringing the doorbell, and he finally let me in. He goes, "I fell asleep at 8. I was up for 3 days partying with the Jap." You know, and I asked him about this Jap. And I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, when I'm not unloading planes, I'm a bodyguard to a Japanese guy that flies in, and he pays me like $2,000, $3,000, and he gives him ecstasy and heroin and Special K and MDMH. It was like the late 90s, so ecstasy was big and all that shit. So we're eating at that fucking breakfast spot on Bergamine Avenue. What's that breakfast spot on 70-something Street?
The kitchen coffee shop.
We're sitting there eating, and he tells me that I go something about fighting, and he goes, "I can't even, nobody will fight me no more. I got to fight my friends." It's like, I'm dying of laughter. And this is at the time when the Hashways had fucked him over, so he wanted to beat up one of the Hashways, and he cornered him in his car and slapped him, hysterical. But he also told me a story about what he does with this Japanese bodyguard, and this is serious, and you know I ain't lying, Dad. You grew up with the guy. He goes, "At 11 o'clock, I eat like a fucking couple Valiums. Then at 12, I do some MDMH. And then at like 1:30, I do some heroin. And then at about 3, I do a little coke to come down. But don't drink, because that'll kill you." I'll never forget him saying that to me. Because he couldn't drink because of the hepatitis D. But he would do drugs all fucking night. And I can't tell you that, you know, these guys that listen to the podcast, you're young and shit. I miss Rago today. I miss Darren Rago more than I miss my mother. Do you know that, bro?
Wow.
I miss Darren Rago. I miss him more today.
Yeah. Let me get off of this speakerphone. This fucking thing sucks. Hold on. Yeah, is that better, buddy?
Absolutely. Are you there? Yeah. I miss that kid more today. I look at that picture on my wall every morning, and I would feel bad if that kid was still alive, because I know he'd be here.
Yeah.
I know he'd be out here. I know for a fact he'd be out here throwing people off balconies. Just having a great time. You know who called me yesterday? Gary Richmond.
Gary Richmond.
Gary Richmond, yeah, the cop, to ask me a favor if I knew Louis C.K. because Louis Stitzer was driving a car for Louis C.K. and he fired him.
Louis Stitzer, man. Yeah. Louis and I go back to Robert Fulton, man. That's a long... Hey, you know, we're talking about Darren, and the first thing that I visualize, Darren, besides being a little pit bull looking, his fights with Kenny Edler. If they weren't the classic fights, Friday nights, Saturday nights, outside of the Midtown, outside of Corky's, those were some real... And then before you knew it, they were all shaking hands doing a blast together. It was the fucking funnest times. And yeah, Darren, we all miss Darren, you know. Anytime it's been 10 years plus, right? What is it?
10, 12, 11, 12 years maybe years. Since he died. It's something nuts. That I can't even... I put away. Like, I don't even really think about it. I don't think about him sometimes on purpose just because I know that if I go too deep into Darren, I'll get sick to my stomach. I get sad because his daughter just got accepted into fucking East Stroudsburg State. Oh, fucking crazy.
East Stroudsburg? That's yeah. By me. That's not far from me.
Yeah, his daughter just got accepted up there. So Danny,
that's great, man.
Tell me what you're doing for the NBA. You doing any pro? Because what I'm trying to tell these people is this. I'm not encouraging you to gamble. But you're going to probably gamble on your own and you're going to lose. And like Danny said, a lot of people right now are trying to figure out next week's Sunday and Monday. Good. Have right. A great fucking time figuring it out. I know Danny's got something for you for Tuesday and Thursday night that you don't have to worry about the weekend. Or you're going to be a fucking Puerto Rican, win money on Tuesday and Thursday, then lose it all on your own. Because that's what these fucking idiots do on their own. And that's why Danny comes in. You get a guy Danny to walk you through the steps. What are you doing now? Something like a dollar a day or something?
Yeah, you know, it's even cheaper than that. You know, it breaks down. It depends on, you know, if I like you or not, if you're a church member or somebody that... It breaks down to 50 cents a day. You know, they sign up on the internet now. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. So I come up with this idea. You know what? Let me make it affordable for everybody. And I'm showcasing some young talent. You know, I've had Tim Donaghy, the Philly Godfather, all established guys. But this is a young man's game now. Everything with gambling is called algorithms, this, that. It's like I'm impressed by some of the young talent. And for the last, I don't know, maybe about a year, they've been all trying to get on my show, sending me plays. So what I've done is I'm now showcasing some of the younger guys in the business where you can track their plays for as little as a dollar a day. But if anybody signs up, I normally double their membership. So hypothetically, if you sign up for $90 for 3 months, I give you 6 months. So it breaks down to like 50 cents a day. And there's always, and I'll throw my plays up there periodically. But it gives these young guys a chance to show their skills because nobody's doing that for them. And believe me, I'm catching heat. People are like, why are you doing this? Why are you putting these guys? Well, then don't spend a fucking dollar. I don't care. It's to show these kids are good. They're sharp, you know, and they're the way of the future. So I just started this about a week ago, not even, and it's going pretty good already. You know, my problem is I don't have enough people on the internet following me. And I'm not going out of my way to do that. I need to spend more time focusing on the internet. But it is what it is. I'm an old school guy. I'm just trying to keep up with the changes of time. And these kids are pretty sharp. Yesterday we did well. We were 5-0. Saturday they were 3-3. Friday they were 1-1. But if you ride these kids out, they're good. They're really sharp kids, you know. And that's what I'm working on right now. A dollar a day. I mean, who the hell? It's fucking a cup of coffee, for Christ's sake.
I'm teaching you how to hustle, cocksucker. Go with Danny B. Wins. Go to the fucking webpage. See what he's got to offer you. What the fuck? I'm not encouraging you to go out there and gamble, but you're going to do it on your own anyway, like some fucking schmuck. You might as well get help. If you're going to do kettlebells, you're going to do them 3-4 weeks on your own, you're going to hurt your fucking back. You're going to look at some tape on YouTube. You're going to miss a fucking small detail. You're going to miss a detail because this is not your world. You go to a coach. That's all Danny is. He's going to be your fucking gambling coach. Give him a shot. What the fuck you got to lose? A dollar?
Well, you know what? You know, here's the deal. The new site for these guys, I made it simple. It sounds catchy, too. Danny Wins, the number four, you. Danny Wins, the number four, you. And I think it's going to take over in time. It takes time. I got my assholes that are attacking me on Twitter. You've seen a little bit of that shit, you know. Trying to bring up my past. Well, duh, that's his big secret. I got arrested a couple of times.
But here's the thing, Danny. Who wants a fucking attorney that hasn't snorted coke? Do you want an attorney that never did a line of coke, that never ate some chick's ass? But what? He doesn't know the other side. He doesn't know how to protect you. He hasn't eaten somebody's ass. And that's what I don't understand when they were attacking you. So you did time. You've been involved in this for 15, 20, 30 fucking years. You gotta get something out of this. You know what? I'm not the best comedian in the world, but I've been doing this for 20 years. I know a thing or two. Give me a fucking shot. And that's what I know. This kid's been doing this since we were fucking kids. That's all his whole family fucking talks about. His whole family. You know, look at Greg yesterday. Hit money. He put it on Facebook. He was jumping up and down. J-Mo finally gave him a winner.
J-Mo, my cousin, gave who a winner? Greg?
Greg, yeah.
Oh, my God. They were out in Vegas. They do the Facebook stuff. I'm not big on Facebook, but my wife keeps tracking them. I'm like, what are they? They're in Vegas every weekend. I haven't spoken to James but a few times in the last few months, but... Yeah, they seem to be doing out. It's tough. This shit's tough. It's not easy, man. I've seen even like the guys like the Philly Godfather that are professionals for 30 years. They get their asses whipped. People want to judge it by 1 or 2 days, and that's not fair. You know, I get people, give me one winner, and if you win, I'm going to sign up. So you're telling me if I win this game, I'm a god, and if I lose it, I stink? That's not fair. That's why this dollar a day gives you enough time, and it's very inexpensive, to follow us over the course of time, because anybody can have a good or a bad weekend. You can't judge anybody by that, you know?
And Danny, you always know where to fucking find him. He's always here. These other fly-by-night operations, they'll be with you for 2 months, then they change their fucking phone number.
Yeah.
Danny B in the fucking house, you bad motherfucker, on a Monday morning. Look at you. Tell them about
Monday
Mike Ronnie.
Waiting for the lesbians. Waiting for the fucking lesbians. I've been without my poo-poo now for about 2 days.
They don't bring your Chibo shoes?
Like, yeah.
So you're going to go to Long Island?
Yeah, I'm going to come up. Here's the problem, though. My wife's birthday is on that Saturday, the 16th. You're coming in on a Thursday, right?
I'm not coming on Tuesday for the New York Comedy Festival, Manhattan.
Oh, man, I'll come up during
the week.
I'll let
you know.
If we can hook up during the week, that would be better, because I can't be gone on Saturday.
No.
Plus, it's a busy day for me on Saturday.
Oh, No, I got my radio shows.
I definitely want to come up. Listen, man, I have a blast, but the problem is, you give me those fucking chewy chews, and then I go into a fucking coma. And then I don't even know where the fuck I'm at.
Did you get fucked up last time?
Close that window.
No, you were there with us that Friday night, or you were there Saturday with Runny?
No, I was there with the close the window guy, and that little man running down the street yelling, fucking motherfucker, you got a fucking trollers, come out of the fucking motherfucker.
Now, let me tell you something. Saturday night, Mike Runny showed up. Now, besides you and me, and I say this on the air like fucking soldiers, beside you and me, Runny is another one of the third fiends of North Bergen. If the Lord didn't touch me 6 years ago, I'd still be doing blow. You follow me? Mike Runny still does powder on the weekends. He told me he doesn't jaw no more. Remember when we were kids? He jaw fucking uncontrolled. People, you've never seen a man's jaw move to either the line of coke with Mike Runny. But this night, I told him, don't fucking show up and do that shit. So he promised me he wasn't going to do it. I took a 500 milligram anti-Dolores chocolate fucking Pop-Tart, whatever the fuck those things are. And I chopped it up four ways. Now, you know Mike Runny has eaten Quaaludes. He's done everything. I chopped it up four ways. Everybody was fucked up that night, including me. Mike Runny looked like he was an old man. He was like walking slow, like with a cane. You know that was on a Saturday night. You know, Tuesday he called me. He's like, Cokes, what was in that fucking thing? He goes, I was high till yesterday. Holy shit. He goes, I will never eat one of those fucking things again. I don't give a fuck. He goes, I ain't even coming to California to visit you. That's how bad that was. So the other day I spoke to him.
It's like the Tootsie Rolls. You got to have the minis. When you're not used to it, you can't go ahead and eat the big Tootsie Roll. You have to start with the little mini-sized ones.
What happened to you last time? You were fucked up in the city, and I gave you one. You went to Weehawken, you ate a pizza.
Dude, it was fucked up. I was having the time of my life. I'm laughing. I'm fucking sitting there with Mario Cantone's brother, Craig, Darren's stepbrother, actually. And I'm fucking lively. And then you give me, next thing I know, I walk into the club, and I just humming. I didn't know what happened. I'm sweating. All of the Mad Flavor fans are talking to me, and I couldn't even... I was like, please, bro, my eyes are bleeding, man. I'll talk to you later. And I stayed high. I stayed high, but, You know what? And somebody tweeted me, the guy from the Chewy place. He's like, yeah, you need to come out to California. Just recently.
This morning. Yeah. I saw that.
I was like, but what makes my eyes bleed, brother? But no, I'm a big weed guy. I've been smoking since I'm 10 years old. But that shit's different. That's like fucking eating dynamite. I was in Europe in the army eating, smoking the best hash in the world. But this shit is, what is it? That's what I want to know. What the fuck is it?
Hey, Dan, let me ask you something, because I didn't know you back then. Did you ever get bullied when you were a kid? Who bullied you?
Did I get bullied?
Yeah.
I was molested as a kid, but I don't know about being bullied. I was a pretty tough kid, you know? I was a pretty tough kid. I wasn't a bully, but I wasn't afraid to throw down. Did I get bullied? You know what? You know who bullied me? Scott Zemanek's brother, the older brother. What's it? Glenn Zemanek. He bullied me for a while. I did something to him, and I was fast. You couldn't catch me. And then one day I wasn't looking and was on Park Avenue, and next thing I turned around, somebody tapped on my shoulder and fucking lit me up. And it was him. Broke my nose, actually. Then he did it again a couple of weeks later, but I was like 10 or 11 years old. But no, I can't say. What's going on with the bully? Why is this a topic today? What's going on? Somebody picking on your brother?
No. Just to see what...
Want me to come out there and fucking bring some guns and take...
No. I was pleased. I was way ahead of you. No. Just, it's a big topic, and I'm trying to remember... You know, like, I had a situation when I first moved to North Bergen downtown because there weren't that many Cubans in my area there. But then after that, it got smoother, and after that, you know, you just grow out of it. And I don't know if... I know that, you know, who used to fucking really love you as a kid? Glenn Conti, always.
Yeah.
And I loved him, too. I really still love him. I haven't talked to him since 94 or whatever, but I wish he always loved... He was a tough fucking kid when he wanted to fight that motherfucker.
He used to stick his tongue out. Remember, he used to do the tongue. He used to come out of the side of his mouth.
Oh, my God. You know, yesterday I had a situation, Danny, at the farmer's market with some paparazzi. And I got in my car and I drove my wife to church and I went home and I thought about it. And I go, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, you know what really happened yesterday, Danny? I had the guy. I could have beat the fuck out of this little fucking Arabian photographer and his buddies. And I walked back to my car. And it was right out in the open, and they followed me to the car. And I turned around, and I walked up to the guy, and he was yelling at me, and I spit in his fucking mouth. It was classic. There was nothing he could do, Dan. And I got in my car and left. And before I got in my car, I really thought about fucking fighting these guys for about a second. And then I saw something. I saw one of these pussy testosterone fathers walk by me with a cut-off T-shirt and this little 40, 50-year-old muscles and his three little fucking kids and his cunt wife. And he just looked over at me. Here I am. I'm sticking up for the rights of this fucking thing. And a couple people helped me out. A couple people got involved. This is Mexican fruit market guy that always gives me the apple. Every Sunday comes from around the fucking corner and gives my wife an apple. And my daughter, he gives the baby an apple. That motherfucker ran to my aid. But I knew, Danny, that at the end of the day, guess what, Danny? I'm all alone. I'm all alone out here. I sometimes forget that I'm 50. And I sometimes forget that I don't live in North Bergen no more, where all I got to do is pick up the phone and make one fucking phone call, and I could have three people there with a bat. And they're not even thinking about the repercussions, because when we strike, there's no repercussion. We're not going to get caught.
Let me tell you something. You can still make those phone calls. People would be there. I know I would be there.
Oh, no, I'd be there also. That's not the point, Danny. You don't need to do time. I don't need to do time over some guys that don't even deserve it. But it's so weird. That's what I thought about yesterday. I thought about how we could. All I had to do was go home, make a phone call. We could have pulled up, got out of the car. They would have been on the corner. They wouldn't even have seen us coming. That's how good we were at that age. We would have got out of the car with pipes, hit them all with fucking pipes in the leg, break their cameras. The fucking people in Studio City had never seen that because we would have done it so fast. It just would have been pop, 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 and a kick to the mouth. And we would have broke their fucking cameras and ran back to our cars with the fucking fake license plate and drove away. And people would have applauded us. Applauded us, man.
Well, I beg to differ. Probably we would have kept the cameras and fucking hocked them.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Breaking them. We probably would have hocked the fucking cameras. But you know what? You should be... You know what? I don't know your situation. You're being... People love you, man.
No.
I mean, were they busting your balls?
No. I was at the farmer's market, Danny, and there's paparazzi. And there's two sides to the farmer's market. There's an adult side and there's a little kid side. And there was like eight paparazzis taking pictures of somebody. And the security guard was this Danny, you know people who are meant to fight, and you know people who aren't meant to fight, that are just good souls. Yes. This guy was working on a Sunday for maybe $10 an hour to feed his children. You know, no weapon, and he's out there with a walkie fucking talking. These paparazzi, the guy's 5 foot fucking five. And they're in his face, and they're going, "Bleh, call the police, stupid." And he goes, "Well, if you guys get on the property, then I can obstruct your photographs." And the guy goes, go ahead, get in front of the camera. We're going to knock the fuck out of you." And right there, I couldn't take it no more. I had to say something.
I got you.
But do you know what, Danny? There was 50 other people standing there. And it just surprises me that nobody in this fucking country has fucking balls no more. So when they don't have fucking balls, how do you expect their fucking little faggot kids to have fucking balls? Do you understand me? Because balls is something that's passed on. My mother might have been stupid, and she might have been a fucking immigrant and a spick and the business and the drugs. But one thing my mother had was fucking balls, Danny. And she passed that on. Until this day, let me tell you something, Danny. I got a wife and a kid, but I also got myself, and we got what the fuck we're about. And I know you. You're one of the last guys I'd want to see in a bad situation, especially at this fucking age, because at this age, we're just going to kill you. Like yesterday, I could see myself. If I had a gun, I would have shot that fucking Arabian in the fucking leg. Ooh. Once and for all, I would have just shot him in the fucking leg outside. But we live in a society now where everybody's a crime stopper. Everybody's got their camera on. Everybody's a fucking nosy, rosy, little dirty fucking cunt. You know, if you're sticking up for somebody, it's like what happened with Joe Rogan and Carlos Mencia. Joe Rogan stuck up for the fucking comedians. And these motherfuckers till today talk to this guy. They shake his hand. They fucking, you know. This is the society we live in that you don't even know when you have something good in front of you. It's like you. You're providing a good service. You're a fucking real gambler. This is what you eat, sleep, fucking shit, fuck. You're fucking your wife and you're thinking about the fucking Knicks tonight. Are you not, Danny Bianco?
You know what? It's fucked up because that's so true. We did our thing last night and I'm watching the game and I'm like, motherfucker. And she's like, what? I'm just, shush, later. Put the pillow over your head. Shut the fuck up. Go back to sleep. Whatever.
What's the webpage, Danny B?
The new one is Danny Wins, the number for you. Danny Wins, number for you. It's pretty easy to navigate, you know. It's very inexpensive. And, hey, anybody that's looking for some help, any church member, I'm doubling up their time. Whatever, you just come in, leave me a little note. I heard you on the church, so now I'm giving you twice as much. So it breaks down to 50 cents. I think a White Castle hamburger is more than that now. I think they're like 70 cents for a White Castle. They're good, but they make you shit a lot. But you know what? It's good times, man. And as far as fighting and going to jail, you're right. I do think twice because my bail starts at $250,000.
Tell me about it.
I can't even fucking get a traffic ticket. I'm afraid. You know what put fear in me? Not the afraid of being beat up or shot again or stabbed again. Losing my kids. Not being able to see my kids. So
me
that instilled
I've already fucked one up.
Take that away and I'm a fucking reckless motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm already fucked one of those things up. So I love you, Danny. I'll call you during the week, and I'll be on your show next week, my friend. I love you to all my heart, my friend.
I think the lesbians are ringing the bell now. This is the perfect time.
Perfect,
I got to go, buddy. Thank you,
for 30 years, I love you more than ever, buddy.
Much love.
Stay black.
Beautiful child.
You too.
Beautiful family. Proud of you, brother.
All right, brother. Stay black.
Bye-bye.
Let me give some fucking shout-outs there to my man, Eamon Brady, his brother, Thurlock, fucking the mailman up there in Ireland somewhere. I love you, cocksucker. Thank you for supporting me and listening. I heard you're a bad motherfucker, Thurlock. Landon Thomas, Andrew Stevens, Johnny Ray Montiaro, Berg Gabriglian, congrats, brother. Congrats on the wedding. Nick Leotis and North Jersey Scott. You know I always got you motherfuckers in my side. Besides that, on it, you bad motherfuckers. I've been living off that the fucking vanilla IPA fucking vanilla shake. I put a little glucose thing in it.
Okay.
To recuperate. I put a banana in there. Oh, shit. Go to onnit.com. Stop fucking kidding yourself. They may be a little pricey, but they're fucking worth it. That protein powder is spotless. The hemp force bars are spotless. The fucking stevia for your coffee, it's fucking tremendous. You could order it on there. The fucking onnit, the new mood is tremendous. The shroom tech, the sport is tremendous. I started on the immune because I thought I was getting sick on Saturday. I popped a couple of immunes, and I guarantee I'm going to fucking work this nigga out, Jack. On top of that, I love you motherfuckers, always. It's Monday, bitches. Get your shit together. I'm happy Danny called today. This is a good fucking podcast today. I'm going to leave you and have to strangle a motherfucker. And last week, I had days. Every day, I had drama last week.
Really?
One day, I was going to the weed store, Divine Wellness. I'm walking in. I walk out, there's two like 19-year-olds on a fucking skateboard, which already I'm aggravated. I'm aggravated already when you're 19 on a fucking skateboard. Already it tells me you're half a fucking Momo with a fucking skateboard. And they come up to me and they go, can we get a dollar for the bus? I looked at both of them and I like, listen, I hope those skateboards work good because I ain't got a fucking dollar. And I just laughed and they looked at me like I was on another planet. At that age, I would never ask nobody for a dollar. But the best one of the week was the one 2 days early at the ATM. I go to the ATM machine, it's packed. You know, there's a long line. But there's a couple in front of the line. Like she's 22 and he's like 23. It's 2 in the afternoon. I go, it's my turn. I'm looking at them like, why aren't they getting money out? But then I see they're talking to people. So I turn around. As I'm walking, the guy goes to me, hey, can I get $5? I look at him. I look at the girl. And I look at him, and I go, what? She doesn't suck dick? Listen, man. You're a 23-year-old fucking strong young man asking me for $5 in front of a beautiful fucking woman. On top of that, you're a beautiful woman letting this fucking idiot of a man ask me for $5. Where's your fucking heart and soul at, you skinny bitch? And this motherfucker. So if you're not going to have no respect for yourself being hanging around with this muddy motherfucker looking for $5, then you might as well suck somebody's dick. What, she don't suck dick? I'll give you 50. At least let her suck my dick. He just looked at me, dog, like he never heard that before. But it's true. You're going to fucking act like that. You're going to ask me for money in front of a girl? How fucking embarrassing is your fucking life? How embarrassing is your fucking life that you got to get money from a fat fucking spick? This is what I'm dealing with. So this is the week I had last week. So the paparazzi thing yesterday was just the cherry on the fucking sundae.
Oh, shit. You have bad luck at that ATM.
Yeah, just the one day. Anyway, forget the fucking ATM machine. Also on the agenda, let me tell you some Hulu Plus. It's getting better and better. They're adding more shows. You know what I've realized? Like my wife told me about Hulu Plus. I didn't know. That she just watches like a whole fucking season in 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that shit. That they went home, her and her sister watched some fucking shit on Hulu.
They have seasons Plus, of everything.
Of everything. That's the main thing. You smoke 55 fucking joints. You got a bottle of water and you watch Hulu. Who's better than you? You eat an Onnit fucking Head Force chocolate bar or something like that. Go to Onnit. And in the box, press church. And
no, if Joey, press Joey.
Joey, I'm sorry, I get all fucking confused. It's Monday morning. They took an hour back. And if not, go to Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus, that's the best shit going in the world. $7.99 a month? Are you fucking serious? And you haven't done this yet? You're spending thousands for fucking cable and all the worthless other shit. I'm asking you for $7.99, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks for free, all right? Go to joeydiaz.net, go in the box and press
Joey.
Joey, that's what I'm talking about. As far as Dollar Shave Club, they're getting better and better and better and better. You understand me? That little fucking one swipe fucking Willie, you shut me.
One wipe Charlie.
One wipe Charlie, you wipe your asshole with peppermint. Fucking tremendous, especially for the holidays. Nobody wants a stinky ass close to fucking Thanksgiving. You're going to people's houses, you're taking shits in their bathroom. You bring one of those one wipe Louis with you. Who is better than you? Why would you want to go to the supermarket every month and stand online with fucking razors behind some old hag who's going through her change and her food stamps and her fucking WIC card? Where all you got to do is go to fucking joeydiaz.net, go to the box for Dollar Shave Club and press
church.
What? Church. CHURCH. Fuck that lady with the change and her fucking pennies talking about her cat and her fucking malaria in her left foot. I don't give a fuck about that dirty bitch. What I'm worried about is getting home and watching fucking sports and hanging out with my family and whatever the fuck I do when I smoke dope or whatever the fuck I do it is when I get home. But that's it. Why fuck around? You get raises for a dollar, $6 a month, or $9 a month. You pick the fucking plan. You pick the package. Who's better than that? $6 a month is $72 a fucking year for raises. That's when you spend a month on that stupid fucking ass water at Starbucks so you can talk to your buddies, ha 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 ha, like a half a fucking fruitcake and talk about shit you ain't never gonna fucking do anyway with some other half a fucking fruit that's never gonna fucking do it. Ha 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 ha, I'm saving up money to go to Belgium. Fuck you, bitch. If you can't go tonight, you ain't real, motherfucker. Anyway, I gave you shout outs. You got your fucking sponsors. What else do you fucking want? You got a day's lesson all revved up in the church of what's happening now. You're going out there. The world is fucking ready. Are you fucking ready for it? Tell them, Lee. What the fuck? You going to go for a walk today, Lee?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I die. You're stumbling. You know, How high were you on the live podcast the other night?
I haven't listened to one of our podcasts, and I listened to that one. If you listen to it, and if you haven't listened to it yet, you're slipping. But you could hear me laughing, and I go, like, I was just dying.
Lee, was that the highest you've ever been since we've been together?
No, it's hard to tell, man.
Then you drove. That was the fucking crazy thing.
Oh, Ari got mad at me, yeah.
We all got mad at you. You're slipping.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do, sit there for 18 hours? Like, yeah, like Yoshi, but I drove, and I had it down. I would go, 1, 2, 3, pedal off, 1, 2, 3. And I was going, like, 45 on the highway. Ah, fuck. And I have a rule. I can't take edibles from you off stage. But then you get all mad, and you start yelling, we're for real, cocksucker. You can't take early edibles. And then always on stage, you give it to me. Fuck. And it's just, it's so fucking strong.
What's strong? Bro, that's Chiba. Chiba don't fuck around. If you're taking a Chiba chew, you're going to go see the devil. I'm thinking of taking one today. Not right now, because it's too early. I got to go to class and do fucking kettlebells and TRX and whatever the fuck. Listen, people, it's a beautiful day to be alive, all right? Holidays are coming. Go out there, set some goals, write some shit down, get your life in order, whatever you fucking need to do. This is easy. This is fucking easy, man. You got this. So please, get up today, write your goals down, drink some water. Go for a fucking walk, call somebody, tell them you love them, or tell them to go fuck themselves. Whatever's on your agenda, whatever makes you feel right. Don't let nobody fuck with you, all right? Don't let nobody fuck with your personal space. Don't let nobody fuck with the people around you, all right? If you feel you gotta speak up, fucking say something. That's why God gave you a mouth. Say something. Stick up for yourself, and they'll never fucking cross that fucking line with you again. I love you, motherfuckers. Have a fucking great day. Stay black. Be strong. Sling dick. Remember, it's either you get your dick sucked or you suck somebody's dick. Lee, give him some love. Tell him something for the day. Don't leave him like this. Tell him to stay Jewish, at least.
Stay Jewish.
If you're fucking lost, you don't know what religion, go see the fucking Jews. They always got something for you.
They do. Get a bagel with lox and cream cheese. Oh, I wish I had that right now.
Oh, me too. I love you guys. Have a great day. What's the music today?
I got some Tool lined up.
Oh, shit.
Before that, now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.